So you're offering this course on psychedelics here at College of DuPage. Is that really an area of academic study?
Yes, it is. There's a resurgence of interest in psychedelics as medicine. There are studies going on around the world using psychedelics in a therapeutic controlled setting. Despite the fact that there was a hiatus for 2 decades on psychedelic research, the street use of psychedelics has not stopped. So it is of academic interest in the standpoint of people that have to work with people that have used these drugs and maybe not been able to integrate them, and also the fact that very likely within the next 10 years, it will be approved in a limited scope for specified conditions in a controlled setting. So the timing is most appropriate.
Bruce, maybe we should tap the break here for a second, and you can define to me what exactly we're talking about when we talk about psychedelics.
When I'm talking about psychedelics, I'm talking about a class of drugs that, for the most part, are not addictive. I'm talking about LSD, psilocybin, and MDMA mostly. These are the three psychedelics. The MDMA does not technically fit in the definition of a psychedelic. But these three drugs have been used, or are being used, as I said, to work with people in some chronic conditions. So we're talking about drugs that approximate the serotonin molecule, that is LSD and psilocybin, that fits very well in the brain and has some very useful effects for people therapeutically.
We're speaking with College of DuPage instructor Bruce Seawick. He's teaching a course on psychedelics. Bruce, how are these medications used therapeutically? Because, you know, I think they are only seen as recreational.
Psychedelics are used to alter the client's consciousness in a way that that increases their awareness of the issues that they're kind of working with. Let's take the example of MDMA, which has had very good success in being used to treat people with PTSD. So when you have PTSD, you're kind of locked in a fight and flight response. The brain is unable to turn that off. The characteristics of MDMA reduces fear in the part of the brain where fear is kind of generated. And it also increases the neocortical functioning. So the person is able to process this without the fear response that has made it difficult for them to come to a resolution. So the client does that on his own with the therapist there. And then if they have any issues, there's a therapist there on the spot to deal with it. And then what happens is after the session, the client realizes that maybe for the first time since the event that caused the PTSD or added to it, they feel safe in their body and able to kind of move forward. The other area that psychedelics are being used in is to treat the anxiety and the depression around terminal illness. So these are the two big areas of research.
How do you overcome just the stigma that surrounds this topic?
I do it by educating, and that's part of what the class is. I've lectured around the country for the last 10 years. You know, the bad acid trip of the 70s is over. These substances, people need to realize, do have a very good history and are very efficacious for a specific condition. The other thing is the vernacular. We're not talking about ecstasy, which is the street jargon for drugs that either do or don't contain MDMA. We're talking about pharmaceutical MDMA. And by the way, that is probably the most recent chemical to be scheduled as the Schedule 1. But in the early 80s and late 70s, it was being used in therapy, as I said, a lot of these psychedelics were originally. So the stigma, I think, is we're moving away from the stigma because that generation, I have run into many people from my generation that realize the potential of psychedelics and know that the stigma associated with them was kind of a bad rap.
Bruce Seawick, thank you so much.
And I thank you very much, Brian.